Hi, and welcome to our very first episode of Prevent, a podcast series designed to educate, encourage, and inspire everyone to put an end to human trafficking in the places where we live, work, and play. Tens of thousands of people in America are trafficked, but together we have the power to stop it by knowing the facts, knowing how to take action, and by inspiring others to join the fight against human trafficking. Prevent is produced by Anti-Trafficking International, a nonprofit organization dedicated to abolishing human trafficking. Learn more at their website, preventht.org. I'm your host for the podcast, Christine Groh. I'm a volunteer who's been committed to spreading truth, facts, and useful information for ending trafficking for more than a decade, and I'm thrilled to be working with the leaders of ATI on this new endeavor. A quick note for our listeners. Prevent is about education and awareness, but some of our episodes will touch on subjects such as trauma, abuse, and sexual assault. Please take care while listening, and if you need support, contact the National Human Trafficking Hotline at 888-3737-888, or you can text info to 233-733. This episode was recorded in November 2023, and information is being updated all the time. Visit us at preventht.org for the latest information and resources. Now we'll get started. First episodes are about first meetings, a time to introduce yourselves and learn what others have to say, let you know who you are, what you're about, and what you believe. So we're going to do that for this episode. We're going to talk about Trafficking and Anti-Trafficking International with Erin Fisher, who's the executive director of ATI. And she'll tell us a little bit more about what ATI does and what you can expect in this series. Erin earned a law degree from Catholic University, and for 22 years, she's worked with academic communities and neighborhoods throughout Northern Virginia. She's a mom with six children, and she has engaged a lot with community organizations and school districts around the world as part of our fight against human trafficking. So Erin, thanks so much for being here and for joining us for our debut episode.
Thanks for having me. This is very exciting.
So let's just start with some basics. What exactly is human trafficking?
So the most common definition that you will find is that human trafficking is compelling a person through force, fraud, or coercion to into sex or unfair forced labor.
And when you talk about human trafficking in United States communities, a lot of people think about human trafficking as something that happens in other countries. What should we know about human trafficking here in the United States?
Yeah, that's a really good point to bring up right in this at the beginning, because trafficking in the United States is much different than it is in other places in the world. It's a lot more covert in the United States in many ways. Primarily, we see gang control trafficking and trafficking of familial trafficking as being the two main types of trafficking that we find. Labor trafficking is also very prevalent in different parts of the country, but it does look different than what you would see in more third world or impoverished countries.
Does it happen in a lot of communities across the United States?
It happens in every community in the United States. It has the potential to happen anywhere because most of us are connected through the internet and social media. It can happen in any community in the United States. And part of that is because we're so connected now through the internet and applications on our phones and so forth. There are traffickers who are grooming people in chat rooms and on dating websites and online and so forth. So it can get into any household, any place in the United States.
How did you first become aware of human trafficking?
In 2019, I saw an advertisement for a conference that was going on about human trafficking. And my bachelor's degree is in criminal justice, and trafficking wasn't something we talked about when I was in college, and I was intrigued as to why this topic was being discussed. And so I went to this conference and expected to really hear how we could help people overseas in other countries fight the war against human trafficking, because that was the only places that I had ever heard of it being a problem. And it was an eye-opening experience to hear that There was trafficking going on in my county. There were cases that had, you know, been taken and prosecuted where I lived and where I was raising my children. And it really brought a whole lot to the forefront in what I was thinking about how we live in the United States. And that was my first introduction to the whole idea of trafficking in America.
So you heard about this through different events that you went to. Mm-hmm. As you go to different communities now, especially in your role as executive director of Anti-Trafficking International, do you find that it's hard to engage people in conversation about human trafficking, or people more open to it? What's your experience on that side?
It's interesting because some people have conspiracy theories about it, and I'm not saying that there isn't some truth in some of the conspiracy theories, but it is not what it looks like in third world countries. And those are kind of the idea that, you know, kidnapping in the white vans and driving away, and the kind of ideas that we got through movies and, you know, television shows. But other people don't really want to talk about it because it's just a hard subject to talk about, and we aren't educated on what it looks like. And once people find out about the basics of what it is and what we're talking about, the grooming, the vulnerabilities, the trapping, those types of things, people are interested. They get that. But the whole idea of human trafficking seems to be so big and so much to take in. I think in general, people want to believe other people are good. And when we talk about human trafficking and when we do our educational pieces and our community events, it's very clear that there's evil out there in the world. And the only way we're going to get ahead of this is by learning what trafficking is, what it looks like, and how you can protect yourself. So by the time we get to that point in the conversation, people want to talk more about it. But in the beginning, it's a little tough to open up that conversation.
Well, I know through my own experience of volunteering with groups like ATI, well, one of the things that I often hear is, I want to know about the facts, I want to take part, but they're very nervous about reporting their suspicions of human trafficking or knowing what to do. Do you have advice for people on that side of it?
Yeah.
You know, if you do suspect trafficking after you learn what you learn, what should you do about it?
It's see something, say something. What we've talked about since 9/11, that whole idea that if something just doesn't seem right, the best thing you can do is say something. And now that could be, if you're in a school setting, you can go to your school counselor, you can go to a teacher. In our educational programs, we really encourage children, especially, to have three trusted adults in their lives to be able to go to and speak to about anything and know that there will not be consequences, because you want to protect the child, right? Adults kind of need that too, right? So if there's an obvious threat, you call law enforcement and you report to them, the human trafficking hotline as well. But you may want to bring it up to someone that you trust and, you know, go back and forth on what you see and make a good decision as to what the next steps would be.
You mentioned schools is one place where there are teachers, guidance counselors, other folks who increasingly ATI actually has been doing a lot of the training for those professionals who have a lot of children in their lives. They touch a lot of children. But you've also worked with hotels and with law enforcement and with a lot of other kinds of groups. Can you tell us a little bit more about the kinds of industries and professional groups that have gotten involved in the fight against human trafficking?
Sure. So you're right. So ATI is, our primary focus is on prevention. We do not do rescue and recovery, but we will, you know, certainly supply information to people who are looking for those services. We do education. So primarily we focus on schools, and it's training teachers, educators, school administration, you parents, anybody in the community that are involved with children. The hotel industry is also a very important industry to have educated. Some states have mandated training for hotel, anybody who works in the hospitality industry, so we work with them. Law enforcement, healthcare workers, both of those groups are on the front lines. They're usually the first people that we'll see and interact with victims of human trafficking. People who own nail salons and dentists and med spas, those are places where you will often find on some scales the trafficker bringing his the trafficking victims in to get manicures, to get Botox treatments, to look, just to spiff up their look, and hair, going to get their hair done and so forth. So those, the beauty industry is one that would be a place that we would provide trainings to. And also people involved in social services. Primarily, we've done a lot of work with families who are adopting children or having children come into their homes who are in the foster care system. There are foster care children are at a higher risk for being trafficked. And running away, which also increases their risk. So to educate those social workers and the parents who are taking those children in is really important for them to know what to look out for.
I notice a lot of what you're talking about is protection of children. Can you talk a little bit about what are some of the ages that you see of children who are being trafficked?
So sadly, that really ranges from all ages. I have heard of cases, especially within familial trafficking, young children that are 1, 2, 3 years old being videotaped, being molested, and the materials are sold on the dark web. That's a very, I wouldn't say it was a very common thing, but it is something that we hear about. And then all the way up to older people who are trafficked, it is, no one is immune to it. So it is, it definitely covers all the gamuts.
So that's why it's so important to be aware, no matter what age children that you're working with or other people that you're working with, just in your everyday life.
I think the most important piece is that a community is educated about it. And we grew up, you and I grew up in the era of the DARE program, right? And we had that whole idea of just say no, right? That whole, that slogan. And we knew, we talked about drugs. We saw the commercial on the TV about the egg in the frying pan, and that's your brain on drugs. And whether or not anybody was, whether or not you were doing drugs, you were talking about drugs all the time. And that's what needs to happen in the human trafficking sphere. We have to be able to talk about it. I had one of our volunteers, Dave, did a community presentation not long ago. And after the presentation, two women came up to her and said, "This is what is happening to us." And we didn't know what that was called. And she was able to get them help and, with, you know, get them to a safe place and so forth. But people don't understand the vocabulary. They don't know that what something is could be trafficking. And that's not to make it a bigger problem than it already is. But people don't know about the dangers and how to protect themselves. So this is really important that we talk about it.
Yeah, they don't even have the vocabulary
exactly
to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Education is empowerment. I believe that from, you know, from day one of starting to raise my kids, if they weren't educated on what not to do or what to do, it was going to be a big old mess. And once they were able to really understand and learn, you see they gain power by doing that. They're confident and so forth, that it really is important just to be educated, because that's how you have the power to be able to do something, whether it's prevent it or teach other people.
In your role as executive director of Anti-Trafficking International, you have a real leadership position to make some positive change. It sounds like a big part of your focus there is to making that positive change through education.
Yeah, that's my passion. Is I did get my law degree, but I spent most of my time in academia and teaching, and I really believe that education is the key to change. And in this sphere, we need to have some change. Yeah.
Well, and this podcast is a big part of your education agenda, mm-hmm. right? Can you
yes.
tell us a little bit about and share what are some of your goals with this podcast and what you would like to see as a result of this new way that we're reaching out to people mm-hmm. where they are?
Yeah, I love this idea. I am a big fan of podcasts. So to be able to just give a little bit of information, a little bit of education every week to our listeners, I think is going to make a huge difference. It is going to make a difference in who the people who hear it and maybe being able to rescue or identify someone who they know or love, just to be able to bring it out to their communities to, again, get the conversation started. This is one more avenue that we have that we can reach people outside of our local area and really start to get people having the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you talk about starting the conversation, and these are hard conversations, especially with children, mm-hmm. you're a mom, mm-hmm. I'm a mom.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear a little bit about how you as a mother talk with your children about this.
Yeah. So very interesting. So my kids are all adults at this mm-hmm. point. I did not grow up with technology. I had a flip phone when I think my oldest child was maybe three. I had an email address in 1995 was when I had my first email address. Life has changed dramatically. And one of the I like to have conversations with my kid about social media, about the things that are out there, because some of them are in college and they see things very differently. I don't participate very much on social media personally, but I have to know about it. So our conversations really talk about safety on the internet and safety in how you use your phone and responsibility about that. That was the mantra all the way through really their high school years. And boy, I can look back and think I would never do that again because I just didn't know. And their dad is somebody who works in tech and he was even trying to catch up with everything. So we talk a lot about, tell me what's the new thing? Tell me, why do you like this? What is it about this that drives you? Do you ever think about maybe what's on the other side? And so we have more philosophical conversations as opposed to the kinds of conversations that I would have with my sister and my nieces and nephews who are 12, 10, and 8. And we have a lot of talks about safety and about being honest and open with each other. And again, that three to succeed idea. So I kind of get on my little mantra and my kids are like, oh, there she goes again, talking about her, you know, human trafficking, but they know, they understand. And it's, I think, changed the way that they look at the world a little bit, especially through the phone and what they participate on and the apps that they're on and so forth.
Yeah. Well, all of these conversations about the technology that's out there, the new tactics of traffickers, mm-hmm. Some of the behaviors that we see, even the language you use.
Yeah.
These are a lot of the things that we're looking to dive into this season. And I think we're going to learn a whole lot yeah. more. But as we kind of close out this episode, Erin, what last words do you have for our audience? A final thought, if they leave this episode with one thought in their brain, what would you like to leave them with?
At the end of every community event, my encouragement is to tell three people what you learned. Talk about it. Tell somebody about the podcast. Talk about, did you know about X, Y, and Z? Just talk about it. Start the conversation. Again, the more you're educated, the more empowered you'll be, but we have to get the conversation going before we can do anything. Our ATI's mission is to stop human trafficking before it starts. And the only way we're going to do that is if we start having the hard, difficult conversation about the realities of human trafficking in the United States.
Well, that's great advice. And I know this podcast is going to try to make those hard conversations just a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Erin, thank you so much for your leadership. And thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for joining us for Prevent. We hope you liked the episode and that you subscribe to hear all of our upcoming shows. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll include more information for each episode in our show notes. Special thanks to Elizabeth Lee, Richard Lee, Erin Fisher, BLC Digital Strategies, and all our volunteers at Anti-Trafficking International. If you want to learn more about how to end human trafficking and to support our work, visit us on the web at preventht.org. Until next time, be aware, be connected, be safe. If you are being trafficked, suspect trafficking is happening in your community, or know someone who needs support, call the National Trafficking Hotline at 888-3737-888, or you can text info to 233-733.